And believe it or not, there are now less than 2 months to go until Election Day. The polls have been tightening. Hillary Clinton has been talking more to the media this week. And Donald Trump showed up on RT America, as in Russia Today. So let's get to our weekly 2016 roundtable.
Here and now.
2016.
Just a couple more months, you guys. Enrique Acevedo joins us. He's news anchor at Univision. Hi, Enrique.
Hi, Robin.
And we have Margaret Talib as well, White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. Hi, Margaret, to you as well.
Hi, Robin. Great to be with you.
Let's start with Donald Trump, interviewed by Larry King for RT America. It's part of a Russian news outlet funded by the Russian government, and it's Larry King's podcast that airs on it. And Trump said things like it was probably unlikely that Russia hacked the Democrats' computers in an effort to impact the U.S. election, although, as we know, the U.S. government is now investigating claims like that. And yesterday, Hillary Clinton slammed Donald Trump for praising Russian President Vladimir Putin, you know, saying he was a stronger leader than Obama in that National Security Forum. Let's listen to a little of Clinton.
I was just thinking about all of the presidents that would just be looking at one another in total astonishment. What would Ronald Reagan say about a Republican nominee who attacks America's generals and heaps praise on Russia's president? I think we know the answer.
So, Margaret, what is Trump's campaign saying today about even more, you know, airing comments on Russian television?
Well, this is an extraordinary story. And the sort of immediate effort to tamp down the RT interview was a statement by Trump's spokesperson saying that this was supposed to be a favor to Larry King. They didn't know it was going to sort of – they didn't know what – they didn't understand what it was for. But Donald Trump is heading into this Value Voter Summit in Washington, D.C., where these are socially conservative voters – who many of them may actually be very interested, not just in the Reagan legacy, but in foreign policy in Russia. And I'm quite interested to see kind of how this plays. But this has been an extraordinary development this week, the evolution of this from this NBC forum earlier in the week where Trump praised Vladimir Putin's 82% approval rating in Russia and said that he was a stronger leader than Barack Obama.
Right.
To the strategy the next day of kind of doubling down on
it. And of course, as the campaign saying, we didn't know that was a favorite of Larry King. We didn't know it was airing in Russia. Of course, people are saying, why didn't you know? I mean, the campaign's supposed to know things like that.
Well, that's sort of the other half of this. This is what the Clinton campaign would seize on if the subject matter itself weren't so sort of juicy and delicious to kind of dig into, is that if you're actually going to be president, you have to be really careful about, you know, who you're talking to, why you're talking to them, understand the context of things rather than just agree to do favors for friends.
So it's Robin, kind of, I think sorry that I interrupt, but I think it's also fascinating because Trump has said he doesn't like to talk about his strategy with the fight against ISIS. But in a way, his praise of Vladimir Putin, who has been very outspoken on ISIS and it's a force on what's going on in Syria, it's very revealing of what his strategy might look like in Syria and against ISIS.
In that he supports Vladimir Putin,
exactly.
Well, let me ask you about another sort of long ago Trump scandal or controversial statement that has kind of come back this week, and that is the fact that he led the charge that President Obama was not born in the United States. Trump was a birther. He said he wasn't born in Hawaii. And this week, not only did Mike Pence, Trump's vice president, come out and say that he believes that Obama was born in Hawaii, but also last night on MSNBC's Hardball, former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who's a Trump supporter, said, well, he was asked about that. He was asked about this, and here's what he said.
You agree with that?
I confirm that, and Donald Trump now confirms that. You know, Hillary Clinton.
When did he do
campaign,
that? When did he
Hillary,
do that?
He did that.
When did he
do
that?
2 years ago. 2 years ago. 3 years ago.
When did he? He has now accepted that birtherism was nonsense.
Look, Hillary
when
Clinton's
did he do that?
Campaign. Chris, Hillary. Clinton's
he did
campaign.
Not do that yet. I am waiting
Hillary,
for him to do it.
Hillary.
The fact is, Enrique, he hasn't done that yet. He hasn't come out. Do you think he's going to have to at some point come out and say unequivocally, I was wrong. President Obama was born in the U.S.?
This is such an important point. Well, Trump will not give Univision an interview, but I'm hoping someone asks him if he still thinks President Obama is not an American citizen. Again, I can't believe we're less than 2 months away from the election and no one has Trump on the record. with his answer.
Well, he will be asked in the debate. I mean, we want to take up Hillary Clinton for a second. And Margaret Tolliff, try this one. Hillary Clinton has said that Trump supporters are either deplorable. You know, there are white supremacists who've endorsed him, including the Daily Stormer website and Richard Spencer. But she's also spoken about, you know, these are people, in many cases, who are genuinely angry, left behind in the economic recovery, feel they're not being listened to. How does she hammer the one group of Trump supporters without offending the other?
Her attempts to do this when it comes to coal country have really fallen flat. And if you're going to put a silver lining on it for her, you know, that kind of miscue or difficulties getting this right is a gift if you're trying to get it right ahead of the general election. But she hasn't quite figured out how to do it yet. And Ohio is probably the place where the rubber meets the road if the rest of the polling holds firm. You know, Clinton has got to find a way to talk about people's genuine concerns and disaffection and disillusionment with the economy. And it's been very hard for her to do it, in part because of the Clinton Foundation and this perception that's kind of underscored by the reports about donors and who she met with when she's Secretary of State. Okay, does it matter whether or not it's illegal, whether or not there's whether or not an investigation is ended? For a lot of these people, it really doesn't matter because it just validates the idea that she doesn't get what their struggle is.
And of course, the email saga just goes on and on. And in fact, today, the Washington Post editorial board said this Hillary Clinton email story is out of control. Quote, Ms. Clinton's emails have endured much more scrutiny than an ordinary person's would have, and the criminal case against her was so thin that charging her would have been to treat her very differently. Enrique, how long do you think that this coverage of the email scandal, the day-to-day drips, and sometimes there are no drips and they're talking about yesterday's, but how long is this going to go on?
Well, I think as long as the Clinton campaign allows it in a way, because they reacted, I think, late to this with a clear strategy. Now they seem to have one in place and their own message every time they get asked, which is a lot, like the Wall Street Journal says. But I think that came after months and months of not really knowing how they were going to react to this story. And that's in part why we keep talking about it this far into the campaign.
Well, there are candidates who wish we would talk about them more, except maybe this week. I want to just ask about Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson. He was on MSNBC's Morning Joe on Wednesday. Mike Barnicle asked him about attacks in the Syrian city of Aleppo.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About?
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
You're kidding.
No.
Aleppo is in Syria.
Okay, Margaret Tallum. Aleppo, of course, is the beleaguered city in Syria, you know, battered after 5 years of civil war. The little boy who's seen sitting in the ambulance, you know, pulled from the rubble. There's hashtags now, and what is Aleppo? USA Today had a front page story. Here's what Aleppo is.
And by the way, if you have read any story about Syria in the last few years, you know what Aleppo is. It's
right.
All over the news.
And you know, people may be forgiven. You know, they're very busy with their days, but a presidential candidate, does this mean he's not getting on that debate stage? What do you think?
Well, 15% has been the threshold, and he's not really been close to 15% anyway. I mean, you can say 10% is closer to 15% than like 3%, but it's still not 15%. So that threshold is always looked out of reach. It's certainly hard to imagine that people who have followed the Aleppo controversy are now going to say, wow, now I really think he's, you know, a foreign policy expert. On the other hand, the way this election year has gone, he's got a whole lot more publicity out of the Aleppo misstep than he has before. But I think it demonstrates a couple of things. And one is, really how difficult it is to talk credibly about foreign policy. And it helps you to understand maybe why Donald Trump is reluctant to get into the weeds on plans, because it's so easy to get outside of your knowledge level.
And we should say that Gary Johnson said he just had sort of a brain bubble right up there with Matt Lauer this week, who's moderating, you know, and some people said he left out questions in the forum. But that can happen as well, we should say.
It can, although he has said that also he's not just said, oh, I actually know a ton about Aleppo and just space. What he said is, I need to get a lot better about this.
I think not knowing about Aleppo is like not knowing about Auschwitz during the Second World War. I mean, the Civil War has been going on for 5 years. So you can't understand today's world, especially not what's going on in Europe, without understanding Syria and Aleppo in specific.
But so, if because of this and because of other things, Johnson's campaign kind of fizzles out a little bit, do his voters go to Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, Enrique?
Well, that's a hard question. I think also, a lot of voters that are going with Johnson are just disappointed in the choice they have between Clinton and Trump. So it's not about what Johnson is doing or he's not doing. It's just that he's the only other option between the two candidates they don't like.
Yeah, I think that's right, although I do think that if knowing a lot and being very substantively informed about foreign policy, it is pivotal for a voter, and they just realize that that's not Gary Johnson, it's hard to imagine that they would go to Donald Trump after kind of his sort of being pressed repeatedly on what are your details about ISIS, how would you deal with Putin in a different way than Obama has, asking Kellyanne Conway on CBS, you know, what's his plan for North Korea, and really for the answer to be, well, I don't want the bad guys, you know, to know what my secret plans are.
Yeah. Margaret Tolov, senior White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. Enrique Acevedo, news anchor at Univision. And what'd you say, Jeremy? Less than 2 months.
Less than 2 months until the election, and not long at all until the first debate, which is coming right up later this month.
So we'll be talking to you more. Thank you guys both.
Thank you.
Thank you.